From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
All right, here we go. Let's see how good this works out. Our engineer is traveling today. He's going to a really cool conference on the West Coast, so I hope he enjoys his time away from the office, while I actually sit in one studio engineering the show and welcoming our first guest in. Shelly Rep is here from New Mexico Dream Center, and of course, many of you are very familiar with her, but Shelly, welcome in.
Hey, thank you for having me here today, Steve. And I love looking at you through two panels of glass way over there.
Yeah, you feel like you're
Double duty, really
in a studio.
Right. No, I'm sitting in like the captain's chair. So I'm looking around at all the stuff that you do when you sit here going, there's some buttons I could push and mess a few things up.
Well, listen, I do want to make sure for those who hear us say New Mexico Dream Center.
Yeah.
Is that like a sleep study?
Right. I love that. So first of all, I did not name our agency. So let me just say that right there. Second of all, it did not occur to me for years that that would be anything until we were working with some people helping us with our social media and some advertising. And they're like, so when we first saw this, we thought you were a dream center where you did a sleep center where you do sleep studies. And I'm like,
So we're
adjusting some of our language to kind of help people understand that we help dreams come true for people who have survived human trafficking. And in fact, we as New Mexico Dream Center have a dream to no longer be in business because human trafficking and exploited youth will have been eradicated within the state of New Mexico. So see how I'm pulling all of those things together?
I love it. And so I guess I should help people brand because I was thinking the same kind of thing. However,
yes, yeah.
I've been very aware.
Job number 27 for
I've
you.
I've been very aware of what New Mexico Dream Center has been doing in the last few years. And of course, many people familiar with the Dream Centers in L.A. and in Phoenix and the great work that they've done. Now, I know we typically, human trafficking is a topic that it seems to the forefront with the work that you do at New Mexico Dream Center.
Right.
And I'm asking actually out of ignorance, because I'm not sure, are there other issues that New Mexico Dream Center helps people deal with?
Yeah. So New Mexico Dream Center, our core issue and our client base are survivors of human trafficking. But a big part of that is prevention and providing services for at-risk populations. So they might be people who have not actually been exploited yet, but are at high risk. And for us, we really look at the youth experiencing homelessness in the Albuquerque area because we know we've got predatory traffickers. And so that's kind of how we marry all those things together.
Okay. Now, in part of re-educating or, you know, New Mexico Dream Center, what is the center called off Central?
Yeah. So the center's called the Harbor.
There you go.
Yeah. And it is a drop-in center or a resource center kind of concept for youth experiencing homelessness. So we can have young people roll on up there and get showers, food, hygiene, meet with a case manager, get onto one of the computers and get some help. And so it is walk-up services for those young people.
Okay. Now, most of us in our sphere of influence either know someone or know someone who knows someone who might be just what you're saying, either already at risk or a high potential that they will be at risk. What would you encourage? Well, first of all, if someone's listening who is at risk and that I need this.
Right.
You mentioned the Harbor and people rolling up. So I'm assuming you can make an appointment, but it's not necessary.
That's true. So you can make an appointment, but we actually consider it to be a walk up center where young people can just come on up within the hours. We open at noon, essentially. So we opened, what time is it? One, an hour ago. So young people can come up, and while a lot of young homeless people do have phones, not all of them do. So we don't want to make it something that's exclusive by an appointment, but rather looking at being able to come and get those services.
Now, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned the cell phone because you know better than I do. And like you said, not all, but there's a lot of homeless people that have a phone and are able to look up on the, you know, and if I was going to do that, listening to our show, I might Google or whatever search engine you're using.
Sure.
The harbor, Albuquerque.
Yes.
Will they find that? Will it end up being on the New Mexico Dream Center website?
Yes. So if they Google that, that should come right to the New Mexico Dream Center website. We also have social media with the harbor and the harbor youth. And so if you kind of look in there, what we see a lot with our young people is they don't ever look at our website. Our website's kind of for older people or maybe people who are interested in finding out about what we do, not so much for client experiences, right. I guess. So we work really hard on our social media, specifically Instagram with our young folks and trying to get those messages out. The other thing is you have to spell harbor correctly because you know what? We thought we were being all fancy, Steve, when
did
we were
do
figuring
it
that out.
You did very English. O-U-R.
Yeah. I know.
No, I was going to ask.
If I could go back, I would not have done that. But
you know
here
what?
We are.
Whatever search engine is, they're pretty savvy.
They're pretty good. Yeah,
pretty savvy with figuring all that out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And let me just tell you, this is really important today and for the next 30 days. So the harbor is there because it's really hard for young people to get into shelter. There's only two shelters in Albuquerque. And so that kind of contributes to this vulnerability aspect. Here's why it's super important today and for the next 30 days is that one of the youth shelters in Albuquerque, Amistad, is closed for the next 30 days because they don't have enough staff. And so they are so short-staffed that they cannot operate an emergency shelter for young people. That does not change the number of young people we have out on the streets. And we've got, as you know, really cold weather right now and this week. So that just even kind of underlines the point that this is an important resource for our city.
Yeah. You know what? I feel terrible. That is one that I'm not familiar with, Amistad.
Yeah. So Amistad is the youth shelter that's in the South Valley.
Okay.
So we have New Day, which is really close to like the Veterans Hospital off of Ridgecrest and the ball fields out there, softball fields.
The Bullhead.
Bullhead. Thank you. I knew you would.
I used to play there.
Yeah, I was pitching that to you. It was like, there's some softball fields out there. They're right down the street from Bullhead, whereas Amistad's in the South Valley. And so so now we're looking at a real shortage of beds where we already did have a shortage. So now even more so because Amistad's closed for the next 30 days.
Now, remind me, the harbor is a daytime only?
It is daytime. We are not a shelter. And we were specific about that because if you license as a shelter in the state of New Mexico, then you have to follow some children's code that we don't agree with. And that piece of children's code is that you have to have a parent or guardian check you into shelter services.
Okay.
And from our experience, the kiddos we're seeing, and they hate being called kiddos, by the way, sorry, the young people that we are seeing on the streets don't necessarily have access to their mom and dad, or they've been kicked out of their home. And so that type of policy, that is a state policy, really actually is another barrier that young people have to get through to be able to get services.
Okay, so we've got about 5 minutes, and I know there's some stuff we talked about.
We want to get.
No, that's okay.
So
I'm glad
words.
We covered that because a lot of people not familiar with New Mexico Dream Center want to make sure they know where to find it and what exactly they'll find. Shelley, and you already mentioned it a little bit. The website is really set up to connect people. To get the community involved in the work you're doing. And that website, by the way, is nmdreamcenter.org, nmdreamcenter.org. And a lot of the stuff we talked about, you'll probably find under, you know, about us and our programs and resources, what have you. But let's talk a little bit about community involvement and some things you have coming up.
Yeah. So, Steve, we are going to have an event in March, March 9th, that is very specific to women of faith. And here's the thing. The whole month of March is Women's History Month. And so we are wanting to empower and engage the women in the Albuquerque metro area with information and knowledge about human trafficking and ways that they can look at being part of a solution to this within our city and then within our state. So we are calling it Making Human Trafficking History which means we want to get rid of it. And so we have this amazing event center in Placitas that has donated their space for us to be able to have a brunch. And we are inviting women leaders in churches, pastors' wives, women leaders in the nonprofit world or the business world to come together so that they can kind of get some information about what human trafficking is. And then we have all of these handles where they can grab hold of a way to make a difference. And it can be something as simple as having a speaker come out and talking about human trafficking to one of your groups, whether that's a women's group or a men's group or a youth group, to how to get involved at New Mexico Dream Center, to how to develop some ministry programs at their own church, because that's how I got into it, is I didn't know anything about human trafficking until I had a trafficking survivor in my church office when I was a professional Christian. And that is when my life changed. And so speaking to how that can happen in that church world as well, what you can do.
Well, you know, so let me kind of mirror back to you what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea because I speak lots.
No. You,
and fast.
When you talk about the event coming up in March,
yeah,
and it is basically you're trying to make human trafficking a thing of the past.
Make it history.
When you first started talking about it, I was thinking, well, I wonder how big that place is. Because what if you have a bunch of women's groups, you know, end up going?
Right.
I think maybe what you're looking for here specifically is the people who oversee and maybe run these children,
yes,
or these women's ministries, leaders,
yes,
to go to the event, that they can take the information back to their group.
Correct.
Let the group know how their group can connect with New Mexico Dream Center to help make human trafficking history.
Exactly. Thank you, Steve, for helping me say the right thing.
No, I think you said that. When you first started talking about it, I was thinking, wow, you could get a lot of lead. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We're looking for those leaders so that, yeah, they can take that knowledge and take it back. And we're setting up a whole system so that as they come, we're going to have these women come into small groups so they can learn kind of some of the important things around there.
Okay.
And then we're going to have a follow-up team with them and say, okay, so you've heard it. We're asking you to pray about it. And now we're contacting you to see, what are you going to do?
Okay. Is that a free event?
Totally free.
Okay.
Completely free.
All right. Then that's something we'll have our announcers mentioning to invite, the leaders and.
Perfect.
Anyway, we'll make sure we get that done. Okay. Now we've got just a couple minutes. Want to make sure there was some stuff in the news. And, you know, before we go through this quickly, the education on KLYT, I think, has been pretty good about, listen, human trafficking, this isn't somewhere else in the world. It is, but
right,
it's in your backyard.
It is.
I mean, it's right here. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then you had a national story as well you wanted to mention. But let's start with the news out of Artesia recently.
Right. So there was a news story out of Artesia, New Mexico, just last week. And the title of it was Mom Picked Up or Arrested. So Mom Arrested for Prostituting Child. And so we hadn't been consulted on this. And a lot of times with these news stories, we kind of know already that there's some stuff going into. We hadn't. This one was like, you know, I was gobsmacked, like, what is going on? And so there's a couple things I want to point out about that. One is that Artesia is a small community.
Yeah, and it's a nice
small
community. I've spent time there.
Football
is huge in Artesia.
Huge. Some just beautiful things around there.
Yeah.
It's very close to the oil fields.
Yep.
So Artesia. And then so what was happening was this mother was essentially selling her 11-year-old daughter for sex to create income for herself. So the other thing that I want to point out is, yeah, so human trafficking happens in small communities. And this isn't prostitution. This is trafficking. Prostitution, by legal definition, is when somebody makes the choice to sell themselves for sex. They sell themselves for sex. That is what prostitution is. This is absolutely what we would call familial trafficking. It is a mother selling her child for sex to create income for herself. She is the trafficker of that child. And so when I see language around something like that. I mean, I think it gives everybody the idea like, oh my gosh, yeah, that kid's being sold for sex. But understanding that this is actually what human trafficking looks like, right. And it is happening in your community.
Okay, and the national story you brought up.
National story is about labor trafficking. So in Nebraska, there was a raid on like a slaughterhouse cleaning firm where they had over 50 young people, so under 18 years old, who were working as trafficking victims, which means they weren't getting paid or they weren't getting paid a fair wage, and they were kept in horrendous conditions.
They were slaves.
They were slaves to clean
these
slaughterhouses.
Can we use that past tense? Are they rescued?
So they've been brought out of the situation. It's being investigated by Homeland Security Investigations. So they're the ones looking in it. It's in the Midwest. This didn't happen in New Mexico. Okay. Hallelujah. But it shows that when we look at this picture of human trafficking, that it is broad across the United States and across the globe. And this is one of the places that people probably wouldn't think about when they think about human trafficking.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. But before we leave, you know, I want to equip our listeners on the whole see something, say something.
Yes.
And not only to law enforcement, I would encourage them to let you know at New Mexico Dream Center what they're seeing. Let the authorities know as well. But I'm going to guess, because of the work you do, you have a working relationship with, I don't know, if Homeland Security, FBI.
Yeah. With all of them.
Yeah.
We've worked with Homeland Security, everybody.
So would you agree? Contact the local authorities and contact New Mexico Dream Center with the details.
Yes.
So you will make sure. I'm sure that's something you'd follow up to make sure the people
we can help make those connections too, because a lot of times if you just call in a tip, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get to the right people.
Okay.
When they talk with us, we're able to kind of help get that to the right people.
All right. Well, Shelley Rupp's been visiting with us. She's the executive director at New Mexico Dream Center. And if you want to contact them, really the easiest way to do that is go to nmdreamcenter.org. Let me give that one more time. NM, you know, New Mexico, right?
Yeah.
nmdreamcenter.org. Is that really the best way, Shelley?
Yeah, I think that's great. You can also call 505-504-1301 is our hotline, which is 24/7, or 505-900-1381 is our landline.
All right. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to hear again from Brian Nixon, Luke Betzner, and Caden Ritchie on the topic of Mormonism. Caden, a former Mormon, and actually what we're going to be listening to is what was recorded for a podcast called Squawk. That is Student Questions at Calvary College. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, but right after the break, stick around. We're going to get an update from the Grief Center. You may be familiar with them under a different name. We'll update you on all of that and catch up with Susie Blake after this. That's coming up on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
All right. We're glad you joined us every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock, ABQ Connect. Remember, the show's archived on the website at abqconnect.online. So you can listen to the shows again, download them, share them. And there's all kinds of great information like we're getting today from Susie Blake. She oversees development at the Grief Center. And for those not familiar, Susie, maybe a couple of things. Maybe let people know, you know, what the name was and where it's gone, and what is the mission, the vision of the Grief Center?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here today, Steve. So the Grief Center is formerly the Children's Grief Center of New Mexico. And so for over 20 years, we operated under that name because we were serving children ages 5 through 25, young adults, and their caregivers with free grief support groups. And then in late 2019, we merged with another organization who was doing similar work, but they were doing it with adults only. And so we just felt like it was time for us to make a change in our name to reflect the fact that we are now providing that support for pretty much everyone starting at age 5 and up.
All right. Well, I have a couple questions. Before we get to the questions, we want to make sure we talk about a really important event that's coming up, because like our previous guest, who oversees another nonprofit here in Albuquerque, the Grief Center is a nonprofit agency. They're supported through donations.
Yep.
One of your big events is just around the corner.
Yes, it is. So our 17th annual Healing Hearts Luncheon and Silent Auction is coming up next Friday, February 3rd. And this is our largest fundraiser. It's going to be held at the Embassy Suites Hotel here in Albuquerque, and it's from 11 to 1. If people are interested in attending, they can purchase tickets online at griefnm.org. Those tickets are $125 each. We will be closing the tickets tomorrow night. So if you are interested in going, you need to kind of act quickly. The other thing you can do is, if you just want to support us overall, you can always make a donation online at griefnm.org as well.
All right. Griefnm.org. And, just remember, what is it? Is it I before E, right?
Yes.
Grief and M. All back to our old grammar rhymes, right?
Yes.
I before E, except after
C.
There you go. Sometimes Y. Okay.
I forgot that one.
One of the things, too, we want to make sure to mention, the services that are provided at the Grief Center to the people in need of the services. It's no cost to them. But, you know, it isn't... no cost to run an organization like this. So whether you can make it to the I was going to say breakfast, because when I went before it was breakfast, but it is a luncheon on February 3rd at Embassy Suites Hotel. Actually, that's near Lomas and I-25, right?
Yes.
Whether you go to that or not, on the website, like most nonprofits, you'll find a place where you can simply click and give. It's at the top of the page. I'm looking at it now. Griefnm.org. Kind of a little more to the left side of the top of the screen. And actually, you know, I did notice this morning when I was on the website talking about renaming the organization. Mm-hmm. It says the Grief Center serving bereaved children and adults.
Yep.
Since 2001. Now, we always associate, most of the time, associate grief with death. Is that exclusive here, or are there other things that people get assistance from when they're grieving?
So that's a really great question. Thanks, Steve. The grief that we help people with is strictly the death of an important person in their life. We do understand that there are different types of grief out there as far as... could be from separation, divorce, incarceration, pet loss. But the grief that we work with strictly is from the death of an important person. And the reason why we do that is that we are offering support groups. And so in those groups
right.
are other people who are going through something similar. And so it does help us to create a common language in that group, as well as common experiences.
Yeah, very synergistic.
Yes.
Yeah. And on the website, there's all kinds of great information, including, the services that are available. I did see, though, in addition to donating, there's other ways to assist the organization. One is through volunteering. What kind of volunteers are you looking for?
Well, this is an opportunity for people, depending on how much they want to be involved. So we have opportunities like helping out for a one-time event. We have plenty of volunteers coming up for Healing Hearts, but we have obviously next year. So if you're interested in just helping out maybe for a day, we would love to see you. We also have volunteer opportunities to help us with some administrative support at the Center for Hope and Healing, and that is our new building and location on 4125 Carlisle Northeast. We also have opportunities for people who maybe are more inclined to want to lead one of our support groups, and we call them bereavement facilitators, and they are from all walks of life. And we have two facilitators who run each group. And again, that's a volunteer position with a commitment of a year. It's really important that when our participants are coming to their support groups, that they're seeing that same face each time. So we just actually wrapped up one of our trainings for facilitators.
Right. And actually, that's another tab on the website. Yeah. You can find out about that, but go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that we moved into our new facility and opened our doors to in-person groups on September 6th. And as a result of having this larger space and kind of everybody now getting back to gathering again, we have seen an increase in the requests for our services.
Okay.
So what we needed was more volunteers to run the groups. And we just had this training and we had 40 people respond and go through the training. And so we're really grateful for those folks who have said, hey, I want to be able to help out and lead some groups. And that way we'll be able to expand the number that we're offering and try to alleviate some of the wait lists that we have.
All right. Well, we're just about out of time. But before we go, Susie Blake is with us from the Grief Center. She oversees development there. And we talked a little bit about the 17th annual Healing Hearts Luncheon and Silent Auction. It's coming up February 3rd, starts at 11 o'clock, and it's all happening at the Embassy Suites Hotel near Lomas and I-25. You can join the Grief Center out there. It's their largest annual event, and support them through going to the event and participating. And remember, the services they provide are at no cost. The website is griefnm.org. Let me give the phone number real quick, 505-323-0478. And you mentioned the new center, Susie, and let's see how good I am with Albuquerque addresses. It's 4125 Carlisle. That's got to be real close to Comanche and Carlisle.
It's between Comanche and Montgomery.
There you go. All right. And that actually is on the west side of the street.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Susie, thank you for your assistance in coming in and in educating our audience about what's happening with the New Mexico Grief Center. Hopefully you sign up and go to the luncheon, but at least go to the website and see the work that they're doing at griefnm.org. Susie, will you come back?
Absolutely. And I just wanted to just say real quick is if somebody listening to this broadcast is realizing that maybe they could use some help with grief, please don't hesitate to give us a call at 505-323-0478. And we'd be glad to provide you with more information on how to get started.
All right. Thanks, Susie.